Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrade Mike Dobreski. And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast.
I'm not ashamed.
And welcome in to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast. Appreciate you guys joining us this evening. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for checking us out. Whether you're watching us on the fine YouTube channel at Carolina Jackpot, or if you're watching on Facebook Live, we appreciate you. Of course, I have a couple of co-hosts. We will start with the man that has Gamecock alumni are blocking him. So many people hate him. He is, of course, from Russia. He's the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It's great to be here, and it's great to support the undefeated Gamecock football team in the year 2020. Not all teams can say that. We can.
That's what you're going to go with all that. Okay.
Well, that's factual.
Yeah, well, it's factual. Also dumb. Also, someone who might bring something to the show that could be better, he is the bald man from the upstate. My friend and your friend, well, maybe, he is Kale Hall. Kale, what's up, brother?
My hand goes into that familiar cramp.
Exactly.
Good evening. Good to be here Sunday evening. Favorite night of the week. Although, it's down to dumb.
Yeah, it's not. We come to you tonight with, it's not necessarily the best news. Would you agree with that? It's crazy. We're going to jump right into it in just a moment here. And there are so many rumors that are going on around there tonight that I'm just going to caution folks, before you find something on the internet and you just believe it, just slow down just a little bit. See who's actually writing it. There is a lot of shit out there right now. So we'll try to keep you with as much facts as we possibly can this evening. Also, there was a big announcement with the SEC where they came out and added two new opponents to each team's schedule. I have one of the SEC insiders. I call him. He wants to remain anonymous, but he is Tony from Birmingham. He will join us later on in the program. But we have to thank our sponsors first, including DNC Trucking and Transport. The No Spin Zone segment with the comrade. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. I wish that I had a man with the character that Dabo Sweeney has to run my football program. I support the alleged racist Mike Bobo. I'll try to spin it into something else, but I am cool with it. Betty Wilson hates me. I am the reason Kale Hall pisses in his sink. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. We appreciate him. Also, we have our good friends at Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. We appreciate them as well. You can go by and get yourself some, play some Golden Tee, retro video games. You can do it all at Callaway's. Callaway'sBarAndGrill.com. Thank them for checking out the show and supporting the show, so we appreciate them as well. I guess we can do the bad news first, and then we'll try to have some fun here in just a little bit. There's so many different things that are going on out there, but the first block to fall, and we'll get your opinion on this stuff, fellas, was the Mac. And as Kale made me laugh really hard with one of his posts the other day, he goes, "Oh, great, no more shitty football on Wednesday nights." But yeah, we're not going to have shitty football on Wednesday nights because the MAC canceled, but it seems like other teams are going to get with it too.
The good team. They never show the good team, which is like Buffalo and maybe Ohio University. It always seems like it's freaking Bowling Green and Ball State and Western Michigan. Enough of that. Give me some Buffalo.
Yeah.
You want to watch Buffalo?
Here's the thing. Here's
anything at this point. I would
Yeah, here's the thing. If college football is canceled by October 10th, you would die for a Mac Wednesday game. You would give anything. I mean, I was watching when baseball wasn't going on. I'm watching Korean baseball at 6 in the morning. I mean, so I mean, it's going to be desperation times if there's no college football.
At this point, if Furman plays North Greenville and it was on pay-per-view for $29.95, I'd buy
it. Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, it started with that, and now there's the reports that the Power Five conferences are expected to postpone fall sports seasons, and Sports Illustrated had a big thing in it. The Big Ten is reportedly going down the same road as the MAC. I got nothing, man. I think it's just a bunch of wow. It kind of just kicks you in the face a little bit. But then I sent you guys a report earlier that something from an Auburn website that said that the SEC is basically laughing at it. I don't know if all of this is true or not, but it's one of the quotes that I read today. Nobody wanted to be the first to do it, a Power 5 coach told ESPN, and now nobody will want to be the last. In the next 72 hours, college football is going to come to a complete stop. One thing that is interesting is that generally Clemson players always go off social media when camp starts, but Trevor Lawrence was tweeting today. Darian Rencher was tweeting today. And when that happens, I wonder if they know something that we don't. Interesting stuff there with that coming back. And there's already talk about Akron and the Citadel being pretty much out of the mix. But I guess just your thoughts, gentlemen. I mean, Comrade, you and I were kind of on this boat early, but it just looks like maybe things are going to shit.
And I don't want to be petty about this, but like in April, you know, I said that I didn't see it happening because the talk was that colleges weren't going to have campus classes in the fall. And I said, I don't see how you can do that and then say, oh, yeah, we're playing football. Like, right. Like that kind of goes against the whole, like it kind of goes, oh, so you can't have classes, but you can have football, you know. So even in April, I was like, I just don't, you know, unless something happens drastically. And, of course, everybody out here in the comment section, oh, you're a fucking idiot. Whatever, you know, my God, whatever. So listen, I hope that I mean, I really want to have football. The same token, though, I got to be honest with you. You know, watching baseball, I'm a huge baseball fan. Watching baseball games with no crowd, listen, I like it better than nothing. But it kind of blows. And I watch a game, and all I can think of is, man, I can't wait till next April when we get back to normal. And I think if we had college football with like 10,000 fans or no fans, I think I'd be like, you know, it's better than nothing. But at the same time, like this year, regardless, is going to be crap. I mean, if they try playing, I doubt they play a whole season. If they do play a whole season, there's going to be no fans. It's not going to be your normal college football season. It just blows, man. It blows either way. I just can't wait till this is all over. Next year, hopefully, where we have a normal baseball season, normal football season, the following fall. But yeah, this is not good. But I'm not shocked. I mean, I'm not shocked by it at all. Not at all.
Kale, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, that tells me something's amiss right there. So you say Trevor Lawrence was tweeting stuff? I know. I saw him. He tweeted something out. Dabo's never let them have social media.
Right, that's why I brought it up, because he's tweeting. Also, Darian Rencher, one of the running backs.
And also, is Rencher still on the team?
Rencher?
It seems like he's been there since Tommy West. It seems like he's been there since Tommy West. He seems like he's been there for 10 years. But, at any rate, there's not going to be a season. There's just not. I do not see it. I don't see it. I made a video today about it over on the Carolina Jackpot channel. You can check that out if you haven't, by the way. Just give it a plug. But there's too many X factors here. And I don't know if I don't know what the main motivation is going to be. with the hierarchy there in the college athletic department. If it is player safety, or if it's this stuff right here. I mean, all it takes, all it's going to take is, and I really don't see these players really being put in a whole lot of danger, being out on the field practicing and even playing in competitive games if they're being tested multiple times, however many is mandated. If people who are found to have the virus quarantine, I don't see them being any more at risk than anybody else, but can you take that chance? If some kid gets sick, dies, you're talking, number one, a life gets lost. That's, I mean, nothing's gonna bring that back. But then you talk about the legal ramifications of that. Holy shit.
The thing is, though, Cal, I don't think, you know, what you said is a good point about safe and everything. I don't think they can keep, like, all the testing, Major League Baseball has a lot of money, and their testing has not been great. Like, they have their waiting line. Like, the St. Louis Cardinals aren't going to play for another week. I mean, this is a professional organization of 30 teams, okay, and they're struggling. And so I think what the issue is if they had all the money to test and do that, or have some kind of the quick test, if there was like a test that everyone could get on your shelf tomorrow, where you can just like boop up, you're good, and we'd have football. The problem is we don't have that, and I think that's the issue. In order to get anything, all the testing costs too much money, and like a MAC conference is going, we can't afford to do that crap. And the SEC and the big ones maybe can, but, you know, maybe can't. I mean, because there's no fans.
It's going to be a huge slide. It's
And they still haven't, even if they had all the money, you still haven't perfected it. And the big thing is the NBA and the NHL so far have done really well. The difference is they're all in the bubble. And you can't really do a bubble. Like, you're going to travel to these stadiums. You know, and I heard Will Muschamp bring a point that, but he was at a smaller school coaching, that they would go the day of the game, like he did like in high school, get out the bus, play the game, get back in the bus, and kind of do it that way. I mean,
less players on an NBA roster and on an MLB.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just, you can't. It's not really working that well for baseball. I mean, they make it through the season; they're not in the bubble. But with baseball, the one thing is you don't really transmit the stuff between opponents. They kind of found that out. But football, I mean, you're breathing that dude across the line from you. I mean, I don't know. I just didn't see it happening. The big question is, will the NFL pull it off? I always thought college have a hard time pulling off just for the idea that if a kid dies or if a kid gets really sick, just the lawsuit ramifications. The NFL players have signed away their rights to sue, basically. Okay, I mean, they're being paid. They can opt out. They've got a deal in place. They got a union in place. So they can try doing it. And if someone dies, well, you kind of signed up for it. I mean, you didn't opt out and so forth. So, I mean, it's and they're getting paid, professionals. It's kind of hard to have kids play football who aren't getting paid, and then, you know, and if they could be risking their life. And I know the odds of someone dying are very small. I'm afraid to look at the comments right now. I'm going to say, it's 0.9%. I know. But all it takes is one. So that's kind of the issue that college has that pro sports don't have.
Well, one last thing on this, because I don't want to depress the shit out of everybody, so I thought we'd talk about some other things tonight. But the other thing that I had, and I read this, and this is what Lawrence tweeted earlier. He said, basically going off what he tweeted earlier, he says, you can get the COVID from anywhere. In theory, that's right. That's why we're all supposed to be going out and wearing our mask and doing what we're supposed to do. But the reality is that, you know, I went to Kroger today to do our grocery shopping for the week, and it's, in theory, you can put your hands on surfaces and get it there. But it's just the elevated risk of bodily fluids being swapped and everything else. And Ohio State's on record that they want to play. I think every team truly wants to play.
Y'all want to play.
But the reality is that I just think it's going to be tough. Let's see here. Black Sheep says SEC will play for sure. That's my prediction. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to have a uniform front across all major conferences and then go from there. And I think that the idea is going to be everyone moves to the spring. I really think that's going to happen. And if everybody's on board with it, then it should be a lot easier. Now, if the SEC wants to go rogue and just say, you know what, and this is how arrogant the SEC is, by the way, I could see them possibly trying to do this, you know what, saying, you know what, fuck you. All the other teams don't matter anyway. The other conferences don't matter. It's all about LSU and Alabama and Alabama and Auburn. We'll just play those games. We won't let anybody else play. We'll just play those games in a bubble. Let those two teams play each other over and over and over again for, say, 6 weeks, and then we'll have a national championship crown by October. That's some asshole shit the SEC would do. But if they did that, then they would still be in trouble, because one person gets it and dies from it, then that person's going to be the picture that everyone will look at, and everybody will look like assholes.
Listen, real quick. If the SEC had that mindset, they would not have pushed their schedule back to September 26th after everybody else's.
Yep.
They would have said, hell no, we're going to play August 30th and F all of you. So the fact they pushed it back to their start date is the last start date of any conference. It's beyond the ACC, Big 12. It's beyond the NFL. The NFL starts for the SEC. That tells me the SEC, and when I said last week, knows that probably there won't be a season, or they think there may be a start of the season, but the season probably get canceled in the first month, so we'll just wait and go last and see what happens. I don't think the SEC is going to do that. I think the fact that they chose that date tells you what their mindset is. They don't think there'll be a season either.
No. Well, you're probably right about that, but the reality is that right now we're kind of in limbo. What you got, Kale?
I was talking today and kind of wondering, if we play a spring 2021 season for the fall 2020 season, and then turn around, say the virus has gone in dormancy, or they found a vaccine or some shit, and we're able to play a regular 2021 season. I mean, what's that going to look like? You're talking about you could potentially say you play 11 games in the spring and then turn around and we play a 12-game regular season next year. That's like the majority of these kids, those who don't move on, 23 games in a span of like 8 months. How do you think that's going to look? How do you think that product's going to look on the field from mid-2021? I think you're going to see some shit shows out there, a lot of injuries.
I don't know. You might see him look real crisp. You might see him, you know, I don't know. But they, listen.
It could be. It's something to wonder about.
Listen, they don't really have an off season. I mean, they, you know, in terms of what they're lifting and they're working out and spring ball. I think they'll be fine. A lot of the kids won't do it anyway. A lot of kids will move on. Like the kids who can go NFL are not going to play in the spring.
Right. And
they're going to move on.
First of all, yeah, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne will not play in the spring. So Clemson fans, if you're thinking that, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever, we'll have these guys in the spring, and then we can move right into Ugonglehi and DeMarcus Bowman in the fall. No, they're not going to play. Let's make sure we put that out there. It's probably not going to happen. You've probably seen Xavier Thomas in his last time in a uniform too. So pretty much every junior that's out there is going to go away.
Three years removed
from high school.
3 years out of high school, right?
Yep.
So they don't have to. Doesn't mean playing out of high school.
I'm going to say this again. I think that you've already got the Ivy League going in the spring. You've got the Macs that are going to the spring. I really think that you're going to see Going forward, some of the smaller conferences play spring football from now on, like from here to the rest of the next 20 years. We know spring football works. And if you're a conference that gets no exposure in the fall, like the Ivy League, and then no one really watches the Ivy League in the fall, okay? I swear to God, I'd put my league in the spring full time, get a TV deal. People watch spring football. They watch the XFL crap and the AFL. I mean, I'm not saying it's crap, but like they watch that because it's football. You put like an Ivy League on there where you don't have to worry about them going out of business. They're not going to go out of business or go bankrupt. It's and all of a sudden that becomes like a viable product financial wise for them too. So I think you're going to see some conference. Maybe like the MAC. Maybe those are two conferences do it year round. Maybe they meet up, the two champions meet up for the championship game, the Ivy and MAC champions go, I don't know, what are we going to do? But I think you're going to see the spring football. We know it works. I mean, we know people watch it because they love football.
Well, I agree with that.
The hunger, you're in the hungry phase right now. You're in the phase in like April where everybody's like, oh, man. Only four more months, whatever it is, 5 months of college football. But then it would be like, oh, now I got the Ivy League to watch. It would be awesome. Their TV ratings would be through the roof.
Yeah.
For Brown versus Cornell.
Be a battle. And people would pick their team. Like you'd have you'd start having allegiances. You'd play, oh man, I love that. You know, I'm a Clemson fan and a Cornell fan. Like those are my schools. And you go, well, that makes sense because Cornell's a spring team. You know, I like my spring team. Who's your spring team? Well, I like those Chippewas.
Chippewas from Central Michigan. That could be fun too.
I think you're going to see that. I think if they play in the spring, you're going to see a light bulb will go off, and all these people who try having a pro league and they can't get the money right. You go, man, we figured it out. Let's have one of our conferences do this, and that will happen. So that's be a good thing from COVID. I think there'll be some good things that come out of this crap. Okay, yeah. And we should get some good things out of this crap because it's been crap. And I think one of the good things you're going to see, and I think you're going to see some spring college football from certain conferences going forward to the end of time. And I think you may see more conference football games in the fall as well. I think that the people responded really, kind of enthusiastically over this whole 10-game conference season, like the idea of having 10 conference games. I think you may see that come soon too. So there's some good things from COVID.
Well, I tell you what, and we've talked about this before, until they tell us point blank there is no college football season, we're going to pretend that there's going to be. And there was some interesting college football news. You know, the last show we did, we talked about Xavier Thomas, and then we find out like the next day that he is going to redshirt this season. He contracted COVID-19, ended up getting him to a point where he's just not physically ready to play right now, so they're going to redshirt him and then move from there. The COVID-19 thing is, you don't really, I mean, it really does take an effect on your body. My wife, we've talked about this before, she is just now getting to a point where she doesn't want to just sit on the couch all day. I mean, it really, really has an effect on you. There's talk that when you have it, it could mentally affect you as Kale's dog attacks him. We might, during football season, without the football season being here, we may just let... Kale, he looked like he gave you an Arn Anderson spine buster. You took that bump really well there, Kale. Holy shit, dude.
I did. I've learned how to take that bump. He gives me the gourd buster, the slingshot suplex, and one of these days, I think he may do the Macho Man elbow up top rope.
I think he's still a puppy. Give him some time. He's got to work that bump into his repertoire as well. But I do want to talk about I did want to talk a little bit about that with Clemson. And we could have talked a little bit about the Clemson schedule a little bit. A story's been out there a little bit, but Clemson adds Virginia Tech, and I can't remember the other game, but
Pitt.
And we talked about where they're going to be, so that's interesting too. Hayward says, talk more about my COVID experience. I don't mind doing that if you gentlemen will humor me for a moment. My wife contracted it first. We were careful. What I mean by that is that anywhere we went, we made sure we wore masks. We didn't really put ourselves in situations where we could get it. Our children, and this isn't a joke, our children didn't leave the house for 2 months. And people are like, how does that happen? But I think your wife was in the same boat with that, if you want to share that, Mike. I mean, they from what I gather, your children really didn't leave your house either, right?
My wife doesn't. The only time my kids, my son played in a my 8-year-old played in a little league baseball league this summer, and that was kind of a back and forth thing about doing that. And he's like, he has a hard time not doing anything. Like, he was right. Really struggling. He missed out in spring season, so the summer league, they let him play. And so I went to the first day, and I was under orders from my wife that if they're not, you know, taking this seriously, you jerk them off of that field. So they did. All the coaches had masks on. They couldn't go in the dugouts. They had to sit in the bleachers. We had to be separated in the bleachers, and then the fans could not sit, so I couldn't get really good seats. So it was kind of a pain in the ass, but it worked. And he got to play baseball, and they couldn't high five, couldn't do a lot of stuff. And he played a season, kind of a half season. Did that. So that's all. That's the only thing we've done as a family. My daughter has not been out of the house at all. And of course, my mom. We've been real careful about seeing her. She lives about a mile away.
Right.
And she's 70s, has got some lung issues from she had a lung punctured years ago. So we have to be careful with her. So we've been lucky so far. But that's basically it.
But we kind of done the same thing with our kids. They didn't go anywhere. But Karen and I just doing our the stuff that we've done. Karen picked it up first, and it started out, she just didn't feel real right, you know. She couldn't get a lot of gumption to get up and, you know, move around, and then she lost her taste buds. She couldn't taste anything. Her sense of smell was messed up, and, you know, that was the big part of it for her. And then she started out with a fever, and she had a fever for about, I think it was 23 days in a row. I mean, it was really, really bad. And as soon as she tested positive, I went and got tested. But the thing, and Comrade was talking about this earlier with the testing portion of it, it took Karen 11 days to get her test results back. It took me 9 days. Now, you know, we didn't go to, you know, when we went to Palmetto Health Hospital, we didn't go to, you know, Joe's Shake Shack to get a damn COVID test. I mean, we went to a hospital to get it, and it's still...
You do test it, by the way, too.
Of course.
You're still taking a test.
But the problem is that they don't, you know, it just takes forever to get your results back. And then once you have it, you have to ride it out like Zorro. I mean, that's basically the way that it goes. They tell you, don't leave your house. You need to, you can treat the symptoms, and that's about it. And so once I tested positive, and I felt bad like the next day, and I had a fever for, I think it was about 5 days. Karen's fever got to like 102 degrees and literally would come down just a little bit when she'd take her Motrin, and then it'd be right back up. So with me, I had the fever about, I think, 5 days worth of it. And I felt totally horrible. I felt like someone was sitting on my chest. That's kind of the best way to put it out there. I'm a guy that, you know, I don't miss work at all. And I missed a whole week of work. I don't think we did a podcast one day because I was feeling that freaking terrible. Hayward asked if I was scared. Well, you know, you hear all this stuff that's on TV, and I try to go by my own experiences. I was scared for my wife because she looked really bad. So I was really worried about her. But about me, I mean, there was a point where it's like, shit, I don't want to go into the hospital. That would suck because, you know, the idea of going into the hospital and possibly being on a ventilator is just not what you really want to do. But I put a mental clock on myself and said, if I'm not feeling, you know, a little bit better in like 2 days, then I'm going to the hospital. And they said that if you get to a point where you're having difficulty breathing, like getting up to walk to the bathroom, then you need to go to the hospital. And, you know, I had no issues with that. I was able to get up and move around and get my dogs and stuff out. But I really felt like someone had injected me with a serum to make me worthless. And it was just tough. I mean, we had to have people bring us our groceries, etc., because we couldn't leave the house, and it sucked. That the one part of the COVID that really, really sucks is the boredom part, because you can only watch so much TV, you can only do so much of a certain thing. You run out of shit to do. Reading books, etc. You know, I would text back and forth with the comrade. I don't bother Kale, because Kale's got like, I think Kale's working all the time. And not to be disrespectful to you, Kale, but I feel like if I'm texting you and you're at work, that I'm bugging the shit out of you. And I don't want to do that to you. But I would text back and forth with the comrade a good bit. And anything you could do to fight boredom, that was kind of the big thing with me. But yeah, I mean, it was a shit show. I wouldn't wish it upon anybody. I mean, it was really, 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 really bad. And I get frustrated because people talk about, oh, it's not real. It is very real. I've had the flu, and the flu is like, yeah, whatever. I've gotten over the flu in a weekend. I mean, this was just really shitty. I had a stroke. I was back from a stroke and ready to go back to work in like 4 days. Played basketball 5 days later after a stroke. But with this COVID stuff, man. I play at Dabo's house. Pete Digit says, my honey-do list is empty. Brother, like, my wife has had me doing stuff now because, to be honest with you, I've just started feeling, like, really good myself, where I'm back to kind of how I want to go. So she's had me hanging TVs and all kind of bullshit around the house here. In fact, she's upstairs. You could probably hear it. She's upstairs steam cleaning carpets because she finally felt good today. She's like, yeah, I'm going to clean the carpets upstairs. Okay. Whatever. Can't really get with her on that.
If you want to get a perspective too, Kerry Rich, former point guard for the Gamecocks, yep. he's in the radio twice a week with Heath Klein. He had it, and Heath Klein, he joins Heath like twice a week, and so like a Tuesday came, he said, well, Kerry's under the weather, won't be here today. Thursday came, under the weather, he didn't say what was going on, and then of course Kerry finally comes on like 3 weeks later. And says he had COVID, and he kind of explained his thing, and he said he had a night where he was laying on the bathroom floor and couldn't breathe, and was on the verge of going to the hospital. He didn't go, but he was at that point thinking, maybe I should go, and he was thinking about, and then of course the next day he felt better, but it took him, I think he said 19 days. He had the fever for like kind of like your wife did, but he was just talking about how scary, you know, so. And listen, and there's a lot of people who get it and it's gone in a day. They hardly feel it, and they're the people who say, oh, it's nothing. But everyone's a little bit different. What you get, what strain you get, or how it affects you. And it's not just, you know, and I understand people who are not in good health have a difficult time. But, I mean, the Red Sox pitcher, I said again, is done pitching because his heart is the muscles around his heart are inflamed and swollen. They can't get the swelling down. So he's not pitching the rest of the year. He's 26 years old, good shape guy. So, yeah. I mean, that's the issue with this whole thing is that they don't know how it affects you long term. Forget about the death rate being low. How it affects you long term. And so if the colleges are afraid of getting sued, bottom line, some kid can't you know, breathe or doesn't have lung function up to the capability. I mean, I'm not sure they're ready for the liability for that yet.
Carlos wants to know if I know how I got it. I don't know, brother. I have no clue. I mean, I wish that I could tell you, but I just don't know. I could have been in contact with several different people, just going to the grocery store, going to get food, whatever. You know, could have gotten it from anyone, to be completely honest with you. Jonathan says that I like licking doorknobs. Apparently, I have the antibodies now, and theoretically, I asked my doctor if I could lick doorknobs, and he said, theoretically, you could, but I'm not going to be licking doorknobs. Let's move on. We'll talk about football for a little bit here. Keith says, by the way, his neighbor had a fever for 15 freaking days. Yeah, it's a disaster. So, the SEC put out their extra two conference games. Quick thoughts from you, gentlemen. South Carolina draws two losses, in my opinion. You get Auburn and Ole Miss. What do you think about the two teams that you picked up?
Well, I mean, first of all, I've got an unnamed source. I'm not going to name the source here today. That said, originally we were on Bama's schedule, and Bama went to the SC offices. We want no part of Will Muschamp. We went there not long ago, and we lucked out.
Holy fuck!
We had some calls that went our way, a phantom holding call and a fake field goal, and we're not gonna be able to count the referees this time. We don't want them.
Yeah.
And so the SEC went back and rescrambled the thing, gave Bama a much easier draw, and gave us Auburn and Ole Miss. So that's the truth behind it. While Auburn was complaining, it wasn't the Auburn in Florida, or Bama in Florida. It wasn't that.
Sure.
It was the Gamecocks were on Saban's schedule, and he knew that they escaped last year. Escaped.
Escaped. Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Didn't want to do it again.
Tell us about the games you got, Mike. Can you not spin for a second?
Why? Because Chad Morris is there. Okay, so Chad Morris. Okay. And Ole Miss playing Kiffin's a shit show. We'll take care of that too. So I think Auburn, we can win. Ole Miss, we can win as well. So not two lock games, but there. I think there's two games that the Gamecocks could win.
Kale, your thoughts on the two you picked up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good with it. I mean, we're not drawing an Alabama, thank God. And you know, I would like to have seen an Arkansas on the schedule, or a Mississippi State got in that thing. But you know, I think Ole Miss and Mississippi State are pretty much a wash. You know, it's on the road though, and I just find that odd that we're having to go back out there again. We just went out there and beat them down a couple of years ago, so we're having to go do that again. You know, I looked at those two games, and I see a split. I see 1-1 there. South Carolina has not played Auburn in Williams-Brice Stadium in a long time. The last game we played there, we should have won. We beat ourselves, kind of, in other words, in that game. And Auburn's just a team that, look, they are not another one of those teams that gets ranked really high every year. And I'm just, frankly, I'm just not that damn impressed with them. I'm really not.
Yeah.
They are, you know, they lose a lot on their defense. They got a couple of decent wide receivers, probably one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. But, hey, South Carolina secondary is legit. So, you know, I think we've got the Timmys and the Joes to keep up there with them. They're just never a team that I can really get behind as far as that big push.
Right.
Get that push.
You push. You fucking push.
Get behind a GD push. Because they're so in kind of inconsistent and I see a split there. I see either we beat one of those guys.
Yeah.
I want to address them real quick. Noah Sheldon 500, a Bulldog fan, says I'm delusional. Okay. Noah, if I would have told you before the Georgia game last year we're going to beat you, I bet you'd have said I'm delusional too. But guess what? It happened. Don't call me delusional. Georgia fans, you cannot talk crap to me until you beat us again. And guess what? It ain't going to happen at least 2021.
I managed to get with Tony from Birmingham. Tony is a guy who I found that is one of these guys that wears the SEC smoking jackets. They're all up in Birmingham, and they're thinking, how can we make the SEC schedule better? It's one of those guys. I recorded an interview with him earlier. We will play that for you right now. This is my interview I did just a little bit before we got on the air with Tony from Birmingham.
Well, let's get right to it, man. Thanks for joining the show. You're one of these guys that you're smoking the cigars, wearing the smoking jacket, right? You're one of those guys.
Well, as a matter of fact, I am, Rob. I've got my emblazoned Alabama smoking jacket, complete with a picture of Nick Saban right on my back where my tramp stamp is.
Anyway, how did you guys come to the decision to do what you did as far as with Alabama drawing Vanderbilt and Kentucky?
Well, in reality, Rob, we don't like Alabama playing anyone. In fact, we would have Alabama play South Carolina 10 times if we could, because let's just be honest, South Carolina is the welfare program of the SEC. They are the government cheese of the SEC. We brought them in so we could call them an SEC opponent and then beat the hell out of them every year. We just added them to the mix of people that we like to beat up, sort of like Vanderbilt.
Okay, so that's why South Carolina's in the SEC.
It's all about Alabama football. That's all we care about. Over here trying to make sure that Alabama has the easiest route into the conference championship game and into the CFP playoff. That's why Alabama, every year, they'll tell you we've got the absolute toughest schedule ever, even though we're playing teams like South Carolina, Vanderbilt. As you can see the other day, we added Vanderbilt, so we get Vanderbilt and South Carolina in the same year. One-fifth of our conference schedule is against teams that truly are not worth a fuck.
That's a good point, sir. Good point.
Well, Rob, down here it's all about the SEC West. Alabama, that's basically what it's about. No one cares about the SEC East. Yeah, Florida had a little bit of a run there, but their coach had murderers on the team. And Georgia can't get nothing done. They're just a bunch of bitches. It's all about Alabama in the West. That's about it.
Well, thank you, Tony from Birmingham, for joining us here on the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. All right, Tony. Thanks a lot, man. See you later.
A lot of facts there from that guy. I don't know why the opener is playing now, but yeah, that's pretty much how I feel. I feel like the SEC protected its banner programs, and they pretty much told Arkansas and Ole Miss to go fuck themselves. Not Ole Miss, Arkansas and Mizzou to go fuck themselves. That's pretty much what happened with these two games that they added. They weren't in the mix of making it any more competitive for the Alabamas, the LSUs of the world. No. Let's protect them, get them into the CFP playoff, and then go from there.
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia's the same way. Georgia got protected too. I mean, your banner programs got protected, and that's basically what happened. If they were trying to get really good matchups out there, look at the two teams they're screwing over too. Arkansas and Mizzou are two teams that are in the conference that they have a brand new coach. They're going to get a year to be fuck sticks. No one cares. No one's expecting anything from them. But so why not give Mizzou, LSU, and add Alabama to their schedule? Why not, with Arkansas, give them Georgia and Florida? I mean, Arkansas' schedule is absolutely crazy. What you got, Kale? Go ahead.
Yeah. To that point, though, I mean, Mississippi State, yeah, I don't expect them to be a good team. You know, what were they, 4-8 last year, 5-7, something like that, to fire their coach. But they're the only ones that are changing head coach, and they're bringing in a legitimate, proven head coach. So they could be a little better than advertised. I mean, they may not be as crappy as everybody thinks they're going to be. I mean, I don't think they're on Georgia's level defensively. I think they're still a ways off, but they could still be. It's not like drawing Arkansas.
Right. Well, I mean, but let's just be honest. If you take off your SEC hat for just a minute, do you think that Mizzou and Arkansas got screwed over by the conference? I mean, comrade, are you buying into that or not?
Screwed over. I don't know. I think they're trying to balance it. I mean, their schedule wasn't that tough to begin with, was it?
They weren't going to do dick anyway.
Yeah, I mean, but I think they tried to take the games already on the schedule and figure out which teams had an easy 8-game schedule already. And if you had an easy 8-game schedule, they added tougher teams. If your schedule was kind of balanced or somewhat tough, they added one kind of lousy team and one decent team. I think with the Gamecocks, as they did, Ole Miss isn't that great. Auburn's pretty good. And I think for teams that had like a bad schedule, they added two tough teams. So
I haven't
studied every team, but that's what it seems like to me. And it's not perfect, but that's what it seems like.
But what they could have done it a little bit better and possibly put these teams into a position where they could possibly compete for bowl games. But this is the Arkansas schedule: Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Auburn, at Mississippi State, at Mizzou, Texas A&M in Arlington, Georgia, and then at Florida. I think that's probably one of the toughest schedules in college football right there. Mizzou, on the other hand, when you look at their schedule, I'm bringing that up for us now. The Mizzou is interesting in that they get to pick up, as I'm bringing up the schedule here, Mizzou schedule goes like this. As this computer's acting silly here. So, Mizzou starts at Florida and Mississippi State, two games on the road. Come home for Arkansas and Georgia. Then they've got Kentucky at home as well. And then Vanderbilt, they go on the road to South Carolina and Tennessee, followed by a road matchup at LSU. And then they wrap up the home season with a game with Alabama. I honestly, truthfully believe the SEC is protecting their blue bloods. And you know what? If I'm on the CFP committee and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know what the SEC did? For LSU and Alabama, let's take for Alabama, for instance. Alabama, here's what we're going to do. We already know that you've got Georgia on your schedule from the East. We're going to give you Kentucky and Florida. There you go, Alabama. Now, if Alabama stubs their toe a little bit on that, and I'm in the conference, I'm in the CFP playoff room, I'm going to be like, wait a minute. Their schedule was absolutely brutal. Yes, they stubbed their toe at Kentucky, or they stubbed their toe with Florida, but that's a hell of a 9-1 schedule to go through LSU, Auburn, Georgia, etc. Now I look at Alabama's schedule, and great. You add Kentucky and Vanderbilt. It just cheapens it. It makes the SEC just look like they're really and truthfully are sitting there in their smoking jackets, basically saying, ooh, let's make sure we have Alabama, Auburn, and everything else. And it just looks shitty. It just looks shitty, in my opinion. But I'm also in the camp, too, that the ACC should have had Clemson play North Carolina. Stop with the bullshit. There's no divisions. You should have had Clemson play North Carolina as well. What the fuck does Clemson get from going to play Boston College? Not a damn thing. You could have beefed up their schedule a little bit more and made North Carolina's schedule a little bit better. But if you look at have you guys looked at North Carolina's schedule? Their schedule was helped so much by this COVID-19 stuff, taking off UCF and taking off Auburn. They add Notre Dame, but they get Notre Dame on a Friday night. I can't remember at any point in my existence where I watched Notre Dame play football on a Friday night. That is the biggest crock of shit I've ever seen. And they have to go to North Carolina to do it. They babied North Carolina with the ACC, so they're not much better, in my opinion. Yeah, no, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go with conspiracy theories. I think they're trying the best they can. They could have just went with the rotation and put the next two teams in the rotation in there. But I think they're trying to make the schedule balanced or try to more balance it up there. Were they trying to protect Alabama? Listen, we know Bama's got some power. And of course, there is rumor that Bama and Florida complained about the original idea of having the two the next round of the season anyway. I don't think it's going to matter anyway.
Yeah.
But it's been good for argument's sake and all that stuff. But I don't know.
We don't know what they did. They didn't explain the.
They didn't explain it.
Behind anything. They could have put beans in a jar with a name on the fucking.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the thing, too. And the SEC network has their stuff, and they put it out there for everybody. Well, this just remember, the guys getting shit fed into their ear. It's the same thing with the ACC network. Nobody wants to have an open forum anymore when they put this stuff out there. I guarantee you, they'll release the statement to close this stuff down, and they won't face the press. They just won't do it. I mean, that's just the way that it is. Brock wants to know what we think about the Bobo accusations. Here's the real world set on that. We can goof back and forth about it, but the reality is that there were several players that said that he didn't do all, that he did a lot of different things that put forth a racially insensitive environment when he was at Colorado State. It's one of those things where there's so much that's out there that I think there's something to it, but you know what? I wasn't there. So in my opinion, I think that what South Carolina should do, they did put out the statement saying, yeah, this is what has happened, etc. But Coach Bobo should be in front of the media and saying, you know what? This didn't happen. He should come out and quickly say that. Call a press conference tomorrow morning. The fucking fanboys from the South Carolina media group down here, they'll be assholes over elbows to get down there to talk to Mike Bobo. And go down there and just basically say, you know what? I'm not here to talk about the team. I'm here to talk about the accusations made against me by Colorado State. I said on this show, point blank, that I think that Danny Pierman should have been fired at Clemson for the stuff that he did. I think that if there was one inkling of something that happened at Colorado State with Mike Bobo, he should be fired immediately. Immediately. Now, I know that there are some Gamecock fans that will point blank, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. I don't agree with what Dabo Swinney did with Danny Pierman. Period. So if I'm on that boat, if this guy fucked over an entire football program to the point where they ceased operations, he shouldn't be coaching, period. All right, so what do you guys think about the stuff with Bobo?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. I've been reading all this stuff. I would like to kind of get, I mean, for my own kind of conscience, like some actual examples of him being racially insensitive.
Well, you just haven't read them. I'll be happy to send them to you. There was stuff from a white punter that said that different things. I can send that to you. So there's okay. Stuff that's there. Maybe you just haven't seen it.
I haven't seen that. So I'd like to see that first. Some actual things to see that. I mean, listen, there are people coming out for Bobo. I know Joe Cox saying that's just not who he is. But if any of this stuff happened, he needs to be gone. And if just because you can't have that. I mean, and I was out here before saying that it doesn't make Dabo look good. That it happened 3 years ago, all the stuff that happened before. We're not going to go with that again. But the same token. So, I mean, I want to read kind of more about the actual accusations, I guess. But if, you know, if you got a lot of people saying similar things, you know, it's hard for me not to believe them. You know,
here's the accusation that I have right in front of me. Under Bobo and former defensive coordinator John Jenkins, it was like an angry white man society, and they came into college football to take it out on the players, said former Rams punter Brandon Summer, who is white. This is from the 247 Sports article. They were racially insensitive, but players were concerned about their scholarships and playing time. So many didn't say anything, and that's not right. Players told Blumhardt that Bobo mostly treated black and white players equally, and agreed that Bobo would joke around with people that he knew well, as far as throwing out slurs, etc. Yeah.
I read that. I just wanted to kind of get, yeah. That's, I read that part, but like I wanted to get. I guess he's angry, but is he angry? Is he being a douche or is he a racist? I mean, there's a little difference. I mean, if you treat everyone like crap, It sounds like he said he treated people equally, pretty much equally. So that's what I want to get at. Is he just an asshole? I mean, I can handle an asshole, I guess, but if you're a racist asshole, it's a little different. Does that make sense?
I guess
it's so.
It's
an asshole, everybody.
I want to make sure that we put you out there, too, because you and I goof back on each other a lot, but the reality is I think you feel the same way that I do. If this stuff was going on, he needs to be hitting the road fucking yesterday.
If his anger has a racist tinge to it, yes. Okay, if he's just an angry, the angriness stuff, that could be the part of him not being a good head coach, and he's a offensive coordinator now. I'm not worried about that. If he's racist, that's different. If he's just an angry and asshole to players, well, that's why he wasn't successful as a head coach and couldn't run a program. We're not asking to run a program here. We're asking to call plays. That being said, I don't want to racist to my staff. So I want to kind of get to the details of how was he being racist, or if like examples of him being racist, I should say. Not okay. The how. I don't really, you know. But that's what I'm stuck on there too. So and I read the same article you did there where he said he treated pretty much black and white the same. Well, pretty much mean, you know. I want to kind of get more. I want to hear from Bobo too on that as well. But yeah, I mean,
you agree with me? He should come out and say something, right? He hasn't tweeted in 4 days.
I think he tweets a lot too. So
yeah, he hasn't tweeted in 4 days. So yeah, Kel, what do you think about the stuff with Bobo, man?
And not taking up for him because of the Gamecock, but I honestly have not kept up with that at all this weekend. But I will say this, he was an O coordinator at Georgia for how long? 10 years?
He worked for
his assistant.
Right. And he worked for Mark Richt. And you know what? I don't think that Mark Richt is like a championship level coach, but I do think Mark Richt is a championship level human being. And if there was one inkling of Mike Bobo saying racist stuff, he wouldn't have been on that staff with Mark Richt for that amount of time, in my opinion.
Right. So, I mean, nothing. You ever heard anything about that at Georgia? And I mean, I think I don't know the demographics of it all, but I mean, I think he was probably around more African American young men at Georgia than he would have been at Colorado State. I think that would have been a little bit more of a diverse area there. So you would think that something you would have already seen that behavior come out in the 15 years that he has been coaching prior.
Well, and really Coach Richt did come out today and tweeted out support for Bobo. So I agree with the comrade that we need more information, but I have seen people talking about, well, that's at Colorado State. Yeah, no, that's who you are. You are a racist individual that carries with you everywhere. But Coach Richt coming out and supporting him, I mean, that means a lot to me. And let me make sure that I put this out there. I don't trust Will Muschamp, period. Motherfucker lies about everything. Everything. Players are injured. Players aren't injured. We're going to dress guys out even though they're having surgery next week just so I can have some sort of competitive advantage. He lies about all kinds of shit. The whole shit with DJ Durkin, with, you know, defending Durkin, who's responsible for the death of a young man. All of that's under Will Muschamp's header. The reality is I don't trust him for shit. But Coach Richt is different, completely different. And if he says that Bobo's a good guy, I'm going to go with that. If it was just Muschamp, I'd be like, fuck it, he's a failure. Absolute liar. Can't take off anything he says. I mean, I think he wakes up every day thinking how he can lie to the media. He is absolutely a shithole. But Coach Richt does have some weight with me.
He can be very, very vague.
Kale, I love you, dude, but you were on the podcast back when a couple weeks during the season talking about he lied to us about this guy playing and that guy playing. Now, that's reality. When it comes to shit like that, he lies.
He holds a lot of information, so.
Shit.
If that's why, if you want to call that lying, I guess it is.
It's not being truthful.
I'll agree with that.
If you're not being truthful, you're lying. This isn't rocket science, ladies and gentlemen. And the comrade, I know the comrade loves him, but the shit with the anonymous sources embarrasses the comrade. He won't sit here and admit it, but he put it out there on Twitter and everything else. It was embarrassing what he said about anonymous sources in the shadows of one of the best broadcast journalism schools in the country. It was embarrassing what he said. Embarrassing.
I refused to comment.
Yeah, of course you refused to comment. I'm telling you, if he was in the last year of his contract, I would have fucking fired him on the spot. Fuck that guy forever. I'm serious. I don't know how. I mean, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And all because he wants to defend DJ Durkin, who was responsible, because when you're the head coach, you're responsible for everything, of a kid dying. But Muschamp's like, well, goddamn, the anonymous source, gotta have those anonymous sources, aren't worth a shit. I don't like any of those anonymous sources. No, no, no. We're the assholes for asking you that as the media. Go fuck yourself, Muschamp. I can't wait until that cocksucker gets fired. Can't wait. I want the Gamecocks to be competitive. People laugh at me about that when I say that. I want you motherfuckers to be competitive. I want you to come into that Clemson game every year, 11-0, and then we kick your fucking ass right on back to Columbia. That's what I want. You're never going to get there with this guy.
You want
people
fired.
Ever. Ever. But the reality is, I can't wait till this son of a bitch is gone. I hope you go, if you have a season, I hope you go 0-10, just so you can get rid of this guy, because he is that much of a failure. He's a shame on our state. He's a shame on our state. We shouldn't refer to him as South Carolina's head coach. He should just be Gamecock head coach. You don't get to put South Carolina in front of his name, because that's the state that I was born and bred in, motherfuckers, and I don't like it. Fuck him forever. There you go. All right, go ahead. What else you got?
I want to say this real quick, though. For those of you who are depressed over the potential season being canceled, here's what we're going to do with the Robin Conrad Show, okay? If the football season gets canceled, we are going to turn back the clock, okay, to 2010, 10 years ago, and we're going to act like it's in real time. It's like, for example, September 2nd is a Thursday. The Gamecocks open their season against Southern Miss. Okay, and we're going to do a show on Wednesday, September 1st, previewing that game.
It'll be the fucking Kale Show. I'm not doing that shit.
And on Thursday's show, it comes to play North Texas, I believe, on that Saturday. We're going to, like, come back like it happened. We're going to be, like kind of, it's, you know, retro. And we'll all have great takes because we know what's going to happen. So we'll all say, you know what? The game comes out awful good against Southern Miss. I would still be worried for them, though, against Kentucky down the road. You know what I mean? Like, we can have great insights on that stuff. And I would say, you know, Clemson plays Auburn in 2 weeks. Listen, look out for this quarterback named Cam Newton. I think you're going to see something in him. He may fall early on. I'll hang in there with him. But I think Cam Newton's really going to find himself. And so we're going to kind of do that to the 10th season. We'll talk with the greatness of Marcus Lattimore. I want to make sure that my Georgia fans are here for it as well, because that's a great Georgia-Carolina game that year, 2010. A great game. Lattimore ran all over your ass.
I'm not doing that show.
That,
go fuck yourself. I'm not doing that show. Not doing it.
We need to get some bammers. Get some bammers in the crowd too.
Yeah, get some bammer for Garcia. Game of his life. So you know I didn't choose it based on because it makes the game pass look good. It's 10 years. Okay. It's a 10-year thing. That's all I'm doing.
There you go.
I'm not doing it for
Edwin chimes in. Damn, we'll have to find a new show to watch this fall. By the way, if you want to call and join the show, 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905. We're not doing
that. If you want, we can do 25 years, the 95 season, with that great Gamecock defense. Good Lord. That is a horrible game. Was that year, Kale? 95 Gamecocks? That horrible Gamecock defense? That was a bad year.
Which one? 95?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a great offense that year. That was bad defense. That was not bad.
Brad Scott's first year, that defense was pretty shitty too.
Yeah, that was the first year won a bowl game. 95 was bad.
Like, well, the year they won the bowl game, the defense was bad. They got a fuck ton of points.
Yeah, like, they did.
They got their ass kicked at home by East Carolina.
Yeah, they did. What's Brett's got? No candy ketchup.
Yeah, they also got their ass kicked by Mississippi State at home by like.
You want to hear something funny about that something? That East Carolina game, Cale? I was actually at that game. I was working for my ROTC cadet corps, and it was a fucking monsoon. The monsoon in 1995. And everybody thought, oh, East Carolina's going to come in here, and Gamecock's going to whip that ass. And then East Carolina won, and it was everybody that stayed was it was just depressing. Depressing overall. Crazy.
I had a running back named Junior Smith. I think that guy's still running somewhere. He's running down Shop Road right now.
Wasn't Jeff Blake the quarterback on that team for East Carolina?
No,
maybe.
David Garrard.
David Garrard?
Marcus Crandall, I believe.
Yeah. That's who it was.
That wasn't the 95 year, because they're not on the schedule. I don't see them on the schedule. I'm looking for this.
It was 94.
Okay, yeah, that was the game that I was at. But I'm looking at the schedule here to make sure that we're right about that. But
they
played East Carolina October the 8th. They lost 56-42. Holy fuck. Now, I'm looking at it, I'm like, y'all gave up fucking 56 points to East Carolina? Shit. How did that happen? Wow. I'm trying to find the actual stats on that game. Do you remember that game, Mike?
The Gamecocks in 95, though, gave up 393 points in 11 games.
Get the fuck out of there. That's crazy.
And they scored 4-1, though. The Gamecocks scored 4-1 points. That was a great offense.
Yeah?
That was a great offense. Crappy defense. But, I mean, that was the year Mississippi State killed us that year, too. But that was I think Arkansas killed us, too, if I'm not mistaken.
If you go back, there's a YouTube, there are YouTube highlights of that game on somewhere, and I watched it probably about a year ago, and it was broadcast on TV on like an East Carolina, but maybe a North Carolina ETV channel or something, but it was the East Carolina announcers doing the play-by-play.
Oh.
And after it's over, they interviewed the coach. His name was Steve Logan.
Yeah.
And this son of a bitch is just angry. And he was fucking hyped up and angry all the time. And even after they won the damn game, he was bitching. He's bitching because we had to put up 56 points today to win the damn game. Our defense needs to learn how to do its job. God damn, man. You're killing me.
I've got that interview here, Cale. Do you want me to play that? I can play that.
See, something like that.
But real quick, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
95 Gamecocks, Tannehill threw for 3,094 yards, okay? 29 touchdowns, 9 picks. It's a really underrated season. Like, people don't talk about Tannehill a whole lot enough, I don't think, because he played on teams with crappy defenses. But, I mean, he put up some huge numbers for the Gamecocks. But he had a great year in 95.
Yeah, I'm going to share because we're going to enjoy this together. This won't get us blocked on YouTube here. Here's the interview piece that Cale was talking about. Here we go.
Oh, God. Pathetic and sad.
Carolina 56, South Carolina 42. Let's go down to the field with Brian Bailey. Brian?
Okay, Jeff, on the field with Coach Steve Logan. He's meeting with his radio folks right now and some other media personnel. He's talking about the third down play with Junior Smith. We'll pick it up right now.
Quarter?
Yeah, I can, because in the first quarter, we're running up and down the field, but we're not putting the end zone. Same thing. We just still got so much maturing to do. It just is maddening. Our special teams fell down again.
Oh, God, that's so bad.
It's like you're stamping out brush fires everywhere. I don't have enough water right now.
Okay, so I saw you in the hotel this morning. You couldn't wait to start this thing. Congratulations. I guess you're glad this one's over.
I am, but I'm going to tell you, we can't play defense like this now. If we fall back into this stuff right here, we can't do this. We got to get this thing right. We got to get them ready to go.
Coach, thanks very much.
Coach Logan, once again, 98 points on the scoreboard. I'm sure you didn't think it was maybe that way coming into this ball game, but you got to be very pleased.
I'm pleased with the win. I'm going to tell you something, though. We can't fall back into that old East Carolina crap of having to score 56 to win. We got, you know, we should have won this game 27-35-10. And we got to get back. And, you know, I knew missing Walter Scott that kid is going to stand back there, throw the ball all day, and that's what happened. You know, I'm going to tell you something. If we start getting hurt, it won't matter if Newt Rockne's coaching these guys. We got to be able to rush the passer, but we got to stay healthy.
You've been preaching you got to learn how to kill it. Trying to learn how to kill it still. That's maturity.
We just didn't know how to act. We're up 27-0. Don't know how to act. Same thing. We'll keep working on it.
Didn't sound like he was a winner, but he was. East Carolina winning 56-42.
Kale, that's great. I didn't recognize that from the interview, but wow, that was so bad. Holy shit, that's funny. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I forgot about that. We were behind 27-0.
Oh man, that's actually really.
I think I blocked that game out. I kind of remember that game, but I don't. That's weird.
Well, you know, you've got also the night there was Kale was probably you were at this game, I think, Kale, the last time that the game in the what was it the 1990 that the Gamecocks lost to the Citadel, and the play by play on that game is absolutely astounding. We might play some of that on Wednesday, just some of the where they're talking about the kid from the Citadel's talking about this is by far one of the biggest matchups in the history of the Citadel football program as they've come into South Carolina and now as they try to hold the Gamecocks out of the end zone. And it's like, holy shit. Oh man. We can goof on Clemson, too, because Clemson's got some shit games. That fucking game to, who is it that we lost to that was, we lost the game to Marshall. We lost the game to Duke. Duke beat us with a field goal at the buzzer from like 55 yards out. Oh, God, there's so much shit out there right now. Anyway, we may talk about that on Wednesday because we may not have any fucking college football to go into. I don't know. Or we may just analyze fucking, I don't know. I'd sit and listen to Kale talk about scratch-off tickets. We might do that. Hell, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll have something for you on Wednesday. Gentlemen, do you have anything else for the show?
That's it.
I'm done.
I'm done. And with that, the show is a wrap. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody's trying to call us. Well, too bad.